Our next topic is IANA and DNSSEC. So I'd like to introduce Richard Lamb.
Public education, I have no idea. Public school education. You were? Okay. All right, let's see here. Let's see if this works. Oh, that works. That is really cool. All right. Okay. All right. My name's Rick Lamb. I work at IANA, which, is part of ICANN, but I'm told that I should say IANA more often, so. So I work at IANA. I'm the DNSSEC project or program manager there. I wrote one of the first UCP stacks for PCs way back when, and protocol stacks for DECnet, X25, iSync, TCP/IP, and translators between all these things and eons ago, an ISDN router. Yeah. Novell was big at one point. Serial port NAT because I was had an expensive line, and these people, my friends, all wanted free internet connection. So, someone told me to port that NAT into something that IP to IP, and that didn't make any sense at all. But I did it anyway, and some company in Redmond really just hates confusion. So, sold that, got rid of that. And that worked out pretty well. It's their internet connection sharing product. Just a couple of us working out of our houses, so that was fun. Then after that, I worked at the State Department, U.S. State Department co-ops, because I felt I don't know, well, kind of lucky, this is kind of wrong, so I needed to do something, so I have some, I'm an engineer, clearly, a lot of RF work in the past as well, and hardware, but I thought maybe some policy work would be interesting, so learned a lot. If you guys ever have a chance to work inside governments, it's fun, it's amazing how awful the process is, and how stupid some of these people are. I tried to do it in a small way, educate some of these guys about the philosophy behind the internet, and that if that's a good thing, that we shouldn't all let the ITU manage the internet and let the telecom guys run with it. After that, sold my house in D.C. and wandered to the West Coast and ended up in Los Angeles. And I looked out my window and I could see part of the ICANN building. You get bored after a while, so I asked David Conrad, give me something to do, anything, and I'll be assistant administrator. Just get me out of the house, right? So he said, well, we got this DNSSEC thing that's been sitting around, lying around for a while, and haven't really done much with it. So now 2.5 years later, I'm the guy that has pressed the DNSSEC signing the root thing inside ICANN, inside IANA. So I know you guys all know what DNSSEC is, but to say it really quickly here, just so everyone gets a basic idea. So, the way I describe it, it's a PKI for DNS. It's, protects things. You got SSL, protect the connection, but you need something to protect the DNS look as well. And since at IANA, I have no opinion. I'm just here to serve. That's true. I really am. I'm here to serve, and I don't know an awful lot about the, I'm not a graybeard like some of you guys are in this field. So I just look for guidance from you guys, and I've gotten a lot, and I've actually, one of the things I'd like to thank, this community is that you guys have been very patient with the newcomers and helping educate people like me. Anyway, I hear that DNSSEC is a long-term solution for cache poisoning, and I've also started to hear from people like Dan Kaminsky this could also be looked at as an alternate source of trust. I'm sure this is not new to you guys, but it's maybe a slightly different way of looking at things. And for example, that some SSL certs are actually, all they do is do an email check with your domain check on you. So this could fortify things like that, but it's also important. It allows you to bootstrap trust in a lot of situations, not just for DKIM, SSH, IPsec, and various things like that, but maybe even an alternate source of certs. Instead of the evil cert providers that are out there who will remain nameless. Okay. And you know, this is interesting in light of the MD5 cert compromise that happened in December 30th, just last year. It's good to have choice. Maybe this is another way to have choice. Maybe it's a free way to have choice. So, but again, I'm not pushing this. I can't push this. This is what I hear. all right. Let's see. All right, I don't expect you to go through all this stuff. I mean, it's just too much detail. But basic sequence, yeah, you don't even, just, you know, sequence of events. All right, so back in like, you know, since 2005, various people, we're not signing the root of the DNS just because we feel like it. We can't. We need people to tell us. So since 2005, various people, Rife, .se, Nominet, various, you know, APNIC have just said to us, you know, get the root signed, get the root signed. This pressure's been mounting for quite a while. SE Sweden, of course, signed their zone in February 2007. And then a whole bunch of other guys follow. Brazil, Bulgaria, Puerto Rico, Czechoslovakia, Kerry Carpet Museum, and .gov. I mean, you know, so the U.S. government has this big initiative, and they actually put their money where their mouth is, and that's pretty good. .org is going to be rolling out some friends and family kind of some testing this year, but I think they'll have a signed .org zone in 2010. UK should have something early this year as well, just .uk, nothing below it, and .c as well, and there'll be others. Anyway, the point here is that, you know, there's this kind of mounting pressure, so we decide, okay, we should, you know, we should deploy a test bed for the root zone as well, understand this stuff, and actually to be prepared for it. In fact, it's part of ICANN's strategic plan. It's well funded. It's you know, I'll show you later. It, you know, we're committed to doing this. There's a group called CCNSO. It's a bunch of CCTLD operators that meet every once in a while. They had a survey end of December last year. They actually, you know, asked some questions. They said, yeah, you know, root should be signed, and they think IANA should do it, so all right. So further pressure for us to move forward. Kaminsky, you know, has his little meetings in Redmond, I think, February of this year, or last year, sorry. I'm losing track of years here, perhaps as we get old. And then we, you know, publish some papers, random papers, just to say, you know, here's what we're thinking. They're not position papers, because again, you know, we take position from you. So you know, here's what we're thinking, just to get the ball rolling. So then also there was some effort by Rife to say, well, you know, let's just do this. Why don't we just get a list of trust anchors? Trust anchors are the DS records. This is what the child TLDs pass up to the root. And because there's some politics around signing the root, some very diplomatic and clever people suggested, why don't we just make a list of these? So that work has begun, and actually we've just finished we have a beta test out there now that I'll point to. Dan Kaminsky, you know, publicly announces the exploit in August, and then you know, a whole bunch of press goes along with that. It did a lot for the DNSSEC effort. It got a lot of, you know, government bureaucrats off their butt and, you know, started to really worry about this. So the U.S. government mandates that, you know, IDNSSEC for .gov. We submit a proposal, say, you know, if you were to ask us to sign root, here's how we do it. Their sign, of course, follows with their own. Around the end of October, you know, there was a market crash, but there were also some interest from industry in DNSSEC, and there were some meetings. And then the Department of Commerce, who has the final say in all this stuff as far as the root goes, make that clear right up front, they say, all right, well, I know you guys could do a public consultation process, but we're gonna do one instead. So we go, yes, ma'am. So we do that, and it starts in October, ended sometime in November, and the results are in, and it's 24 for ICANN to do it, and zero for VeriSign to do it, and then a total of about 55 responses, and most of the responses were just do it. So they didn't say who, just do it. You know, we want this to happen. So I know, you know, so maybe there's a question in this group, you know, is DNSSEC really something we, you know, we should have, because it's complicated, it's going to take more resources and all that stuff. But there's a pretty large group of people out there that actually really want this. hey, I'll go either way. So, all right. So, and after that, we've signed some contracts with some experienced folk. And I don't know if anybody here knows Jacob Schleider, but some people that actually did the work for .se. We figured that's like the only production system that's been out there for a long time. Banks are on it. I know Brazil's got some stuff going on as well, but it's one of the primary ones. So, let's speed this up a little. All right. So, you know, why sign the Root? Community is asked. One of the primary reasons is compromise recovery. You know, if there's a TLD that compromises a key, how do you swap? How do you change that key? If there's another level of indirection, i.e. the root, then they can just hand us a new key. We'll publish it, and there you go. If they've published the key themselves to 100 different places and different operating systems, well, now you get a big problem. Okay, because now that means you have to go to every one of your consumer devices or, you know, operating systems, whatever, and have them actually change keys, and that's a long process. So you basically have just push the problem up, and it becomes our problem. Fine. All right. Configuration simplicity as well. You know, I mean, if you only have one root key, well, that's easier than configuring a whole bunch of other keys. And also the other reason, start the ball rolling. A lot of people say, well, the root isn't signed, so I'm not going to go forward. So let's take that excuse out of their hands. Okay, our proposal, I'll try to run through this part quickly. This is just our proposal, a little bit of a sales pitch, I guess. Our proposal, no change in the current control of content. You know, we don't want to upset the apple cart, everyone who wants their little piece of control of, you know, how the content of the root zone is done. We'll leave that in place. But we'll accept no compromise in security. You know, make sure everything follows every standard we can follow. We like it designed by the community, for the community, because how can you trust something if it's just handed to you? It's something that should be simple, and it should be clear. People should know how it works, and they should be involved in designing it. Spread that. And this would be a continual process, like everything else in ICANN. You know, whether you love it or hate it. I mean, you know, I think it's quite a Byzantine process, but you know, it does involve everyone somehow. It tries to involve everyone. No one organization holds that root key. Okay, that's, you know, a lot of ways to look at that. Some say it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, just control. It's just protecting public content anyway. But anyway, just for optics, transparency, no one controls that. Regular auditing, reporting to the public, and we'll deploy it. We have a test bed that's been out for almost 2 years. We're ready. Okay, so but timely deployment. And as much automation as possible. I've heard, you know, a couple of talks here about the NSSEC, how, you know, difficult it is to maintain and run. This thing has got to be as automated as possible. And flexible, because things are changing. You know, there's a lot of lessons learned. Things keep happening. It's open source. I've handed out lots of pieces of open source already to various people. This is kind of a policy slide, but we're just read the header, okay? I mean, the goal here is trust and accountability. I mean, those are hard things to come up with. Accountability. In order to engender trust in an organization or group or process, you know, it's got to be something where people understand it, and it's simple, and so, you know, everyone participates, and so there's a sense of accountability there as well. If something goes wrong, it's not just for us. All right, it's a PKI, so to each pair of public-private keys is part of the chain, and so, of course, at the very top of the chain, that's the weakest link. And the strength of the chain is only as strong as the weakest link. So I'm starting to delve in a little cryptography kind of logic here. So, I mean, you'd want to make sure that each one of the processes, the keys, the hardware, the systems along the way are at the same level or, you know, to a suitable level. Basic idea here is that anyone can generate a signed root. Okay, this doesn't stop anyone from doing this. It's trivial. And anyone can generate keys. Publication of the key is what makes it important. So once you've generated this key pair and you have that private key in a very safe and protected place, it's the publication of the public key and the fact that everyone agrees to trust that public half that makes the whole system valuable. And so it's a slightly different way to look at it. Some people say, you know, the generation of the key has to be done, you know, in a you know, the generation is something you need to focus on. Well, anybody can generate a key pair. It's a standard RSA key pair. And, you know, I look at this again as a classic internet play where, you know, the community has to be involved. It's the only way you're going to engender trust in this. All right, this is basic you know, just dumb old block diagram overview of what we envision the processes to be. The TLD operator hands us the keys. These are DS records. So these are things that represent a hash of the keys used to sign their zone. And we take that and authenticate that. This meet space authentication. My office mate deals with all the TLD operators. It's everyone needs you know. There's got to be a human component. It's an out of band, you know, process as well. It's not just all automated. So, all right. So, and the idea is we would edit, create the root zone, sign it with the DSK, and publish it to somebody else who would distribute it to the root server operator. That interesting here. All right. Okay. So we currently run LRoot, and we do some registry failover things as well. And as I said earlier, this DNSSEC is actually part of our strategic plan, so it's fully budgeted. We're prepared. We've had this test bed that's been out there at ns.iana.org since it's almost 2 years at this point. We continue to modify it, update it when we hear about new lessons, new problems people are experiencing, particularly from some of the folk, the people who have actually deployed systems out there. It's been publicly available, of course. Some of the software that I've handed back to the community is something called PKCS11. It's a standard for talking to these crypto boxes. Crypto boxes, all they do is they generate keys inside and they store the keys. And they're designed so that if you tamper with them, they either show that they've been tampered or they delete the keys. They don't really quite self-destruct. That would be cool. But they don't. They just delete the keys. And I've already screwed up one of these pooches. They're about $20,000 a piece. And yeah, I learned the hard way. But they were able to give me another one for not as much. But it really does what they say. All right, let's see. If you forget the PIN number on one of these things, three times you take the wrong PIN number, that's a brick. There's no reset button. It's gone. So it was like that. But anyway, there's some standards out there. I wish there were some international standards that we could quote as well, but it turns out there aren't any at this point that certify these units. FIPS 142 level 4 is the highest level you can get. That's why these things are 20K. It's, you know, it's ancient technology, I think by Baltimore Technology or something. Not made in the U.S. We thought that was important. But still, UN treaty organizations, MasterCard, Visa, I think Microsoft, Apple, a lot of people use this box. So it's a pretty good box. Anyway, it's connected over the network. I'll show you a picture of that in a second. So the other thing is, there's something called a key ceremony. Every time I say that, people look at me kind of weird. Well, there's a whole, again, to engender trust, you need to have people watch the processes and understand the process by which the keys are generated and how these things are published, how the public app is published. And so that's something that we are looking to, you know, the community, the people that are experts in this stuff, people that run certification authorities do this kind of thing. So you have a room with two cameras, literally, a couple safes, N people with N different combinations to get into N different access points. So no one person is completely in control of this. And that's for their safety as well. You wouldn't want someone to put a gun up to one of these guys and say, you know, give me the root key and do this. So the idea is you really need to look at this carefully. And it's called the key ceremony. It's just a term of art. Let's see. All right. So, I can go on and on. But, again, we need to get feedback from the community on the final design of this thing. We're not here to tell anyone anything. They need to tell us. All right. So this is where now the reality comes in. And this is all open source software. So if people want to use it for some of their own systems, that's fine. I'm currently working to clean up stuff so people can use it out of the box and pretty easily. But primary goals here, security is way at the bottom of yours. I mean, if you don't update the signature on a DNSSEC signed zone, it fails. Okay, I mean, that domain name will disappear. Okay, so if you're doing validation, it won't validate anymore. So that, it'll in some ways it disappears. So that's really important. So the reliability aspect is very important. The maintainability is very important because this was one of the main reasons when one of the main points that David said to me when he hired me, he says, you know, this thing has just got to be as automated, easy to use as possible, because every effort up until now to deploy DNSSEC has just been derailed by it. It's too hard to do. It's too hard to deploy. Okay, so I book it. So I, what we have now is three scripts, and they can all be automated, and you know, all just run as cron jobs on various machines. And so it's pretty simple. I mean, they just routinely, twice a day, sign the root zone, whether it needs it or not. If there's a change in the serial number, of course, they'll sign. One that rolls keys. Also one that does an emergency key replacement. If there's a compromise, you tell it which key number it is and which domain name or which domain you're dealing with, the zone you're dealing with, and it pulls it out, replaces it, and does all the right timing things. Reliability, you know, machines are cheap, so we just use two machines, both signing, and they just ping pong off each other, and you know, one signing, the other signing, and that way, if one fails, it's you know, not a problem. They're also very good machines. They're you know, double power supplied, rated machines as well. Dell 1950s. And the other important aspect here is that we have many, many keys. This is not for every signed element in the zone file. So it's only going to be for at the very beginning, the set of keys at the beginning. But you have all these overlapping keys, so that propagation delays and things like that are not as much of a problem. It also gives you some ability to recover from compromise. Now, of course, you know, some people point out, well, what if both, I have two KSKs, those are your very top level keys. Well, what if they're both compromised? Can't answer that. Don't know. I mean, that's still going to be a problem. But those two KSKs are now going to be in every copy of Microsoft Windows. And, I don't know. Windows gets a Windows update, once a week? So maybe it's not big a deal, right? You just stuff the new ones down. People are looking into, you know, how we could solve that. And security, it's got to look secure as well, because we're trying to engender trust, and trust is a whole fun, fuzzy type of thing, and we just need to be able to convince people. So initial design looked like this. We had two machines signing continually, so they're just ping-ponging off each other. You could take one out, put it back in, it'd be no problem. You'd have one machine that actually had the zone file on it that was assigned, and then you'd have this machine off to the side that was called KeyGen that actually is offline most of the time that would actually generate sets of keys every once in a while. That was initial design. Well, after some lessons learned from the .se folks as well as the .uk folks, they've been all very helpful, and everyone's been very helpful in sharing the designs. I mean, the intricate details of the designs. Automation is what these guys are focused on. The cost of failure here is just too high. It's. I won't say it's more important than security. It's as important as security. And so, automate as much as you can, and build in a capability to automate key rollover as well. So we did all this. Support multiple HSM vendors. I love this one HSM vendor, but hey, you know, you can't stick to just one. And PKCS 11 is a standard, and we wrote to that standard and wrote all the routines of that and shared that with others. And we should protect what it is. We could have the fanciest signing system, the most secure system of all signings, but you know, if the data itself is easy to tamper with, the root zone is easy to tamper with, well, it doesn't make any sense. It's silly to have all this security. So this is what we have now. It's just, you know, you look at it at your leisure later, but you know, we have. It's a standard colo. Currently it's just a standard colo, but you know, so you have a couple biometrics you got to go through. There's a guard, and in the red box you put all that in a GSA classified, and it's an NSA certified top secret safe. You know, anyone can buy one. But you know, and again, this is part of the optics. Okay, so when you're as a registry, if you're offering this, you're offering DNSSEC. This is good. It's important to have people see this, right, and say that, look, you guys really care. All right, so that's like a $30,000 safe. You can get smaller ones, and I think you can get a lot of used ones. But it's a generic. Every government employee at any level has like a half size version of that sitting next to his desk. It's nothing special, but it's got all the right stamps on it. So inside that is the database that has the text file for the root zone. Root zone isn't that big yet. And it has basically double everything. Two signers, the new design has two name servers, two signers, two of these crypto boxes, some holding some of the keys and the other keys. And that all goes out out to the internet through a couple other name servers. And these are all publicly available. We've gotten a lot of help from other PCH, as well as some of these guys at BYN Inc. That have given us Anycast test servers, as well as OARC, who has given us a public recursive resolver, validating resolver, which I encourage everyone to completely stamp on, and, because this is the time to find out if something's going to break. I don't care if something breaks. I'd rather have it happen now than later, than 2 weeks after I quit. I just joke around. As soon as the root is signed, I will quit in 2 weeks. No reason hanging around to watch something break, right? So I'll be a consultant, though. Happy to be a consultant.
You're going to retire from ICANN in about 30 years, right?
No. Much sooner, hopefully. Hopefully this will be done in a year. I know. That's laugh. Anyway, so... So here's a web page that's publicly available. It gives me status and stuff, and I use this for a lot of reasons. But it shows the keys, tells you what's changing, tells you what the dates are. It's not that interesting, but those little LEDs on the top tell me if one of those machines are down or if there's a problem with one of them, they change different colors. And you know, this is just test. We can change this, and you know, we can make this as pretty or as simple as we want. That's just not a problem. All right, go ahead and test it. I would love to see people test. So right now, there's only one, but we can put up as many of these as people are interested in, and I think I'm talking to some folks at Comcast, maybe try to do it as well. Not for their customers, but just to have a publicly available recursive validating resolver pointing at our signed root. Because in our signed root, we've signed the root, ARPA, inadder.arpa, all the things under ARPA, and you know, .int, and we've also sucked in all the keys from all the sign zones that are out there. So it's as complete a signed picture of the DNSX signed picture of the net is around. It certainly does not pick up all the things in .com and stuff that you know require .com to be signed. It couldn't do that. So there's a bunch of masters there, and anyone wants to use those, I'll give you the TSIG keys. I'm very happy to for you to do transfers from those things. We don't have a lot going on, but, you know, so like a million queries a day, just a one of them, I have to speak to the other people. The problem with free stuff is it's hard to ask for anything. So, you know, we have this people that offer this free Anycast stuff, but, you know, I need to approach them nicely and see if they'll give me some logs, some data, so log files or something. So I'd love to see what's going on with those guys. All right, very quickly. So there was this notice of inquiry, Department of Commerce. They're the boss. They basically have to approve before we can actually make this public. You know, send it out to the root server operators and make it real. They did something pretty good there. You know, I was impressed. When I worked inside the government, I thought, oh man, you know, this is just going to be a boondoggle all along. But they actually did some good technical stuff, mostly from help from some of the more technical agencies like the Bureau of Standards and some DHS people, some people from the Defense Department. They all helped out and made sure that Commerce did not go astray. All right. So the two proposals that are there, and by no means, if someone comes up with a third proposal and has a great idea, by all means, help us. Tell the world. We'll look at it. Everyone will look at it. Commerce will look at it. I mean, it's, you know, if there's something wrong, again, we want to see it now. And if there's a really simple way to solve this, we want to see it now. So anyway, ICANN's proposal is, you know, no stream. We said, well, you know, in a perfect world, what will we do? And that's how we came about it. And said, well, you know, whoever vets the data should sign the data. So that's the way we look at it. You know, DNSSEC experts would help the design, and they'll continue to help design. That's what we'll come up with in the end. VeriSign's approach was one where they gave something that was more prescriptive and said, you know, this is how we should do it. And that's not bad. I mean, they have an MMM thing. These are just some dumb pictures. I'm trying to encourage. Well, I have to give this presentation to a lot of more political kind of people, so I'm trying to give them this idea of a chain of trust. Okay, the ICANN proposal is pretty simple. You have a key at the top, and you have all the other TLDs coming off the bottom. The vetting and signing happens in one step, so we're accountable. It's just in one step, as opposed to breaking that up into multiple between a couple organizations. So it's simple, okay? This is the other guy's proposal. This is a proposal, and the other guy's proposal here is to... In their defense, they're trying to fit exactly into the current way that information gets passed between agency and organization. And so the idea is that you then have the KSK key, the root key on the top, but The zone signing organization is different from the one that actually vets the data. So there's, to me, there's a fundamental disconnect there. Someone's vetted the data, they should immediately sign. But if you want to stick, if you want to try to change the lease thing, then you have to send it over another link. I look at that and I go, why add another link? This is another place for corruption. You know, something might happen with the data. Who has the keys to that link? Okay, public, private key. Okay, it's an SCP. We just do SCP, right? No? Still, that's a pair of keys, all right? And that forms another link. Who controls that? You know, those keys. It's better, I really, really simple is good here. So just want to keep it as simple as possible. And, you know, I ask, you know, would I trust my bank account to something like that? I don't know. I mean, there wouldn't be anything intentionally going, you know, wrong here, but there's certainly the chance. All right. Okay. Well, we've already talked about that, so I'll skip that. Flexibility is important here. Things change. You know, the recent discovery that MD5 attack. I mean, whatever we have should be something that should be easily changed, moved, given to a different organization if need be. That's fine. That's actually part of the plans. Let's see. All right. All right. Well, it's your route. I'm just trying to get people involved. One of the things I kept finding out hearing is that there's a lot of engineers tend not to like to deal with political people or maybe the press and stuff, but it's important here. They will listen to you. So, you know, if, and maybe you guys don't want VNSSEC like to happen, well, that's fine too, say that. But people are listening now, okay? And not only just the people at the Department of Commerce and the U.S. government, they are listening. They're actually listening very carefully, okay? And, you know, any amount of press they see, they immediately pick up, okay? And they will react to that. Right? So I'm just saying, they are listening to engineers. What are we waiting for? We're technically ready. 2 years off, you know, we should just go, right? Well, as I said earlier, Department of Commerce has to make a choice. Simple as that. Meanwhile, we continue to discuss, you know, exchange ideas, deploying DNSSEC. We've, you know, hired some real experts, try to hire some even more security experts like, you know, Anderson and maybe some people like that to give us a really shake the box and make sure there's nothing wrong with it. Here's some quick issues for service providers. I think these have been touched on. Bill's touched on them a number of times, and so I won't spend too much time. But, you know, for the registries and registrars, I don't know how many registrars are in here as well, but, you know, this means they have to, of course, deploy signing operations. I think that with the right scripts and the right work and some of the experience from other people that are also deploying sign zones, that we can make that, we can automate that. And we can make it secure, too, by using, you don't have to buy a $20,000 HSM, okay? You can get for $1,000, Sun sells a perfect little crypto card. It's SCA 6000, $1,000. It's level 3 compliance. It's not level 4, but that's still good enough. Okay, that's pretty good. And, you know, $1,000, you might have to run Solaris. You know, I think, yeah, that's the only drawback. So you maybe run that as a separate box. But so you can automate the whole thing like that, and I think that's what the UK folks are doing. So, all right. Zone walking was a concern. Well, you got .org saying, okay, you know, NSEC3 is now out there, so they're fine. They're moving forward with their plan. So I think that solves the zone walking problem. One of the things that isn't discussed much here is, all right, well, you get these DS records now, and you know, if customers start asking for this, you're going to have a lot of customers that aren't that savvy. And so you're going to want, they may want you to be the one holding their keys for them. That's a sticky thing. I mean, ideally, you want them to hold the private key. It's their problem. You're just passing the data across. But, you know, as you roll this sort of a service out, they're definitely going to be people that don't understand this. What happens if your, you know, registrar goes away? Who owns that, the private key material? It gets kind of sticky, but it does mean that you have to think about some security issues and how to create a chain of trust there, whether it's with the client side, you know, SSL, that validation or what have you. All right. And then further down, you'll have to get the trust anchor. So whether it's just a single signed root trust anchor, a single key for the signed root, or if it's for multiple things, somehow you're going to get this information. You know, if it's a root, if it's a signed root, maybe you have the ISPs or some designated, you know, representative of the ISPs be part of this key generation ceremony. Maybe that's the outer band. You know, go straight to the horse's mouth. Go right to the point where the key is generated and be involved in that. I don't know, party. So, happy to hear some suggestions there. This presentation at the bottom about the effects that DNSSEC would have, it's a little long in tooth. It's 2005, but it's I still think it's technically valid. The main thing they focus on, they think that CPUs can keep up with it, memory can keep up with it, but the main thing is there's going to be this 3 to 12 times bandwidth increase, and that could be a problem. And a lot of that is, that's probably, I'm hearing that's going to be the biggest issue here. But of course, your mileage may vary. All right, now this is a bunch of other stuff. We also sign in ANA.ARPA. Still, though, before we can publish it, we have to wait for Department of Commerce, that's NTIA there. IAB is fine with this, fine with us doing this, but they're the ones that asked IANA to sign in ANA.ARPA and all the ARPA, most of the ARPA child zones. A lot of thanks to Terry Manderson on some of the automation side that's going on in this. He's trying to automate the process by which changes to ANA.ARPA are going on, and he's amazing. I mean, you guys know he used to be at APNIC, but I don't know why he's not doing something else, but he's working with us, and I'm very happy about it. Let's see what else we got. Then the rest of the ARPA zones, they're signed in this test bed thing that you guys are welcome to use, and we're just waiting for the government to tell us okay. Let's see, E164.ARPA is signed by Wright, but it falls underneath. Int is signed, and we're in the process of setting up something to eat our own dog food, sign in, IANA.org and ICANN.org. There's a parallel progress project going on called the Root Zone Manager. This is something with the two-factor authentication, a little FOB and stuff, that TLD operators could directly go in and change their information on. And that, that shouldn't happen a long time ago, but it's actually getting tested now. So I can't give you a date when it'll be done. Okay, well, so we've stood up a DNS group now at ICANN and a little bit of research group as well, the DNS group, headed by Joe Abley. Just for the announcement, which was today. This is great, somebody who really knows his stuff. I'm just here just taking orders. So somebody who understands stuff, this is part of an overall IT operations headed by David Conrad that I don't know if you guys know. It'll expand our operational capabilities. He'll be directly responsible for DNSSEC, LRoot, and various other DNS things. We got some efforts underway. I said earlier this morning, someone said asked about gTLDs. Well, there have been some questions and some IETFs about, geez, what's going to happen here? Has someone studied the effects of everything altogether? So that's going on. We also, of course, hired Jacob and his company to flesh out the Root Signer design. Also trying to create a small research group that will be involved in handing out or developing software, doing various things, not just this, but some RPKI work, the resource allocate certificate work as well. It'll be involved with various other things like that. So, I think Joe has 3 employees, 3 men at Octin and Eric Nelson. I don't know if you're familiar with them. All right, so now I'll go real quick thing here. We have the interim trust anchor repository. This is something Kim Davies, who's in charge of TLDs, is doing. The idea behind the interim trust anchor repository came from Wright. Great idea. This was kind of a way to work around the politics. Everyone would never let you sign the root. But what's wrong with just having a list with the keys? It's just a list. IANA maintains lists all the time. That's all. So that was kind of a way to get around some of the politics. So it's a list, and it's a list with a very nice interface. It will go away once the root is signed. Various formats we have it in. It's just master file format, XML. Master file format is just a native cut and paste for you can take it right out. If you work with various software implementations like Unbound. It's available there. This is just beta test right now, so if you go there, you just see a beta test, but itar.iana.org. Top level domains are playing with it. It hopefully we will get this out in the next few months and it'll actually start accepting real DS records and keys from TLD operators. All right, that's just part of what it looks like. Very pretty interface. We also have signed all the test IDN zones, dot test in various languages. So, and that is something that's publicly signed, publicly available, and so that's why you'll see that's all supposedly test in various forms there. let's see. Yeah, almost done. All right, and this is thanks to Leo Pagoda, just something that I'm sure you guys have know about, but just to summarize some of the numbers that have been assigned, 3 blocks, ASN number has been assigned in 2008 to the right one, Aaron. We're using AS plane notation. Yeah? Okay. And there's a website for this. And this is a general movement we're doing in IANA. It's trying to put everything in some sort of machine-readable XML format. It's not just this. Everything's going to be XML. So, you know, you turn off these scrapers. All right. So 9IPv4/8 is allocated. You see that. That's all data I think you guys are familiar with. And that's it. Again, I just want to emphasize how thankful I am that just the people in this community and specific people in the just NZ community here as well have been very helpful to me, both in the engineering aspects as well as trying to get the right thinking out there, some common sense out there. I didn't do any of this alone. I owe some of thanks to so many people. I mean, some of these guys, I don't know, just random crypto guys that are just helping me for nothing, and it's amazing. So but we may expand our DNS operation a little more, so maybe hire more people soon. That's it. You guys got any questions? No? All right.
How do you get power, network, and air into a safe?
Power, network, and air.
Well,
air.
You put it into your class file.
Oh! I thought it was a trick question. Power, network, and air.
I was wondering that too.
I'll show you a picture of the thing here. If this will work.
I know from my own experience, we have a lot of fun. The more secure your rack, the harder it is to keep anything cool and to keep anything connected.
Oh yeah. No. You're barking up exactly the right tree here. And anyway, it's this $30,000 box. I think we're going to get a couple of them probably. Problem is, most places won't take it. The floors and a lot of these facilities can't handle 2,000 pounds. So it's just, I'm fighting with Equinix like left and right. These guys just won't like it. Come on, you know? Anyway, but they're building out some extra support. Here it is. Oh, no, it's not on there. Let's see. How do I do this?
It's so secure,
it won't leave
show.
It won't leave. Anybody can buy this. There it is. Okay, anybody can buy it. Well, now I can't see it here. Okay, anyone can buy this. It's it's got vents. It's got a heat exchanger inside. Okay. This is these are standards and things, and it's got a rack inside too. So it's got a rack and an environmental. It has like two junction boxes, you know, red and black, and you know, kind of cool. So, well, maybe. I mean, you know, it is just a big chunk of metal. I mean, you know, and class 5, GSA class 5 is the highest class, at least I know I can buy. And class 6 is not stronger. Class 5 is 10 minutes of someone trying to get in there, drill a hole in there. So
it should be a good
sure, I'll send you a piece. Yeah. So let's see. So it's got this. Yeah, it's got that. I mean, I don't know if we'll use theirs, but we bought this. We have this. We had this. This is something that actually has a little internal environment thing with the measure temperatures. You don't want to open this thing. The whole idea is here to be able to open this door. You have to have, you know, at least maybe 3 people to get to that point, and they have to be different people. You know, you never want one person in. So this thing is going to be closed most of the time, and that worries our IT people a lot. You know, see, but I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. You know, I mean, if it worries you, we'll have 2 of them. Okay, if that worries you, we'll have 3 of them. So you know, it's, so.
12,000 people.
Yeah, it can handle it.
So you don't let Dell service man go and play with it.
So here's the weight. So it's actually 20. Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
It's a ton.
Yeah, it's a ton. It's a ton. Yeah. I think this is the key standard that if you're doing this kind of thing, you want. So
Richard.
Yeah.
This is not something that the TSA is going to be able to open easily when I put it in my check luggage, right?
No. No.
Yeah, they've got their little secure key on the slide.
Yeah. But anyway, and this is all, again, you know, the HSM, the box, all this is, that's only just the hardware. That's the easy part, to make things look trusted. The other, getting the people trust is the hard thing. And, but it looks like from the notice of inquiry that, you know, 20 for us and zero for various, I guess some people, 20 people trust us. You know, it's better than nothing, I guess. And hopefully we can do well by that trust, because, like I said, for the past couple of years, I've been working closely with, you know, some of the Olaf Kolkman and, you know, Patrick Holstrom and Susie Borns. You know, we're just trying to, as much as possible, say, look, you know, just tell us what you want to do, and we'll just do it, you know, type thing, and because they're the experts. Anyway.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. Awesome talk.
All right.